Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Goalie Science, the podcast that bridges the gap between goaltending, science, and peak performance. I'm your host, Jamie Phillips, a former professional goalie, currently pursuing a doctorate in physical therapy and specializing in goalie performance coaching. Joining me as always is Dr. Ben Cernik, a seasoned goalie coach and sports analytics specialist. Whether you find yourself at home, on the road, or at the rink, grab a cup of your favorite beverage and let's drop the puck on this week's episode.
Jamie, it's once again time to relive your childhood. We're going to go through the life of Jamie Phillips and talk about what went wrong. You've been right.
Wouldn't that was kind of a little bit of last episode. There was a little, I dove deep in there during that one.
I didn't listen to it yet.
Hand up.
That's my bad.
Logistics are tough. Like I said in the last pod, it might be surprising, but Ben and I do have other jobs. Unfortunately, the podcast does not sustain. It actually just loses money.
It depends how you quantify it.
Yeah, that's true. But we were talking about draft stuff, and it is February, and you're probably thinking, wow, this is super early to be talking about the draft.
Sure.
And my response is, I have been talking to a lot of parents about different drafts. And so it's been on my mind. And something I've been talking back and forth with parents, kids, advisors, goalie coaches, teams, all that stuff. Been texting other goalie coaches around North America like crazy this week. So it's been on my brain. And I wanted, and Ben, being stats guy Ben, I know he's crunched some numbers before, but I wanted to know if there's a little bit more up-to-date numbers on some original findings. Because I remember we talked about the Q was a big talking point last time. Both this time last year.
Yeah, it's just had a tough historical run recently. But it's also like, that's also a product of population size. Like, I think we don't fully appreciate the difference in population in Q just compared to, right? Like, it's of the three major CHL leagues. When you look at, as the league strength in general, it's just the weakest of three leagues. Like, and weakest in the sense of like, who goes on to play at the highest professional level. That doesn't mean that there's not incredible players out of it, right? That's like not the argument. It's just like a consistent level of slightly less overall productive than the other two leagues. And that's fine. It's just like a product of there not being as many people.
Yes. And I know the primary league we're going to focus on here is the OHL. So if you are from Western Canada, we do apologize. We could talk about that another one or bring in someone who's more versed with that. Ben and I grew up in Ontario. We know Ontario. Yeah. It makes sense. I was drafted to the OHL. My experiences there lasted maybe 2 weeks. Oh, sorry, officially less than 48 hours. I don't know if that rule still exists.
No, there's like waivers now. You can play a game and get
it. So, kid, you know what? Like, it sounds like an old person, like, but kids do have it better in terms of like what they can and can't do, and like not being yelled at by the NCAA, especially with like NLIs. I love it. I was talking with someone with this, and I love it.
Did you say NLIs? Did you mean NILs?
Did I say NLIs?
Well, it's a national letter of intent. It's still a thing. It's applicable to college sports.
Yeah, or whatever. I don't know. The name, likeness, images,
yeah.
Likeness.
Yeah.
Pay the players. But I think it's great. And I think that, again, like talking about Major Junior, there has been some whispers that the rules might change. We talked about it earlier today. I think it's going to happen. You don't think it's going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, like, so for those who are maybe haven't heard this yet, I think I'm going to, this is sketchy reporting here.
This is strictly rumor science.
No.
Rumor science podcast.
I don't remember what I was meant to say. I think the vote is in April is what I was trying to say. I don't remember when the ruling or the meeting or the, it's in the most instable. Basically what's happening is for the longest time, now this is secondhand reporting, so I've heard this from other people talking on this. This is not original source reporting. That originally CHL players lost their NCAA eligibility because players in the CHL could have been signed by NHL teams, which differentiates from the NCAA. You're drafted in the NCAA, like you are, Jamie, and your rights are held. But CHL players who are signed with an NHL team can be assigned back to the CHL. And so that's where the distinction has always been.
Which is to clarify before you keep going, but that means if you go the NCAA route or drafted the NHL, they hold your rights your entire career in the NCAA,
which is 4 years
to me or longer, depending on when you're. Yeah, no, it's actually so dumb.
It's bad. It
ruins a lot of careers.
It's bad. But not limited to not limited to Jamie Phillips.
Continue.
Yeah, so that's where I think I'm under the impression that this, like, next, whether it's exactly a vote or a, like, committee meeting, I'm not sure. So, like I said, bad reporting, is in April. But basically, it's going to come down to, should CHL players be allowed to play in the NCAA? Should they, like, because it's more complicated and more nuanced than just, like, you know, we assigned our signed player to the CHL, and how does that, you know, impact other players who aren't signed by an NHL team, right? Like, I think that's where it comes down to. Interestingly, like, I think this is bad. And so maybe we'll just, like, think about why. And I'll explain this, because, again, I don't know the full structure of what they're proposing. But Jamie, let's have this discussion based on the assumption that you can enter the CHL and leave the CHL at any point to go to the NCAA, like, assuming you're within the appropriate time frame.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is, well, my impression is that I think the only group that benefits is the NCAA, and then also the players, the top end players, because what I predict, what I suspect could happen or would happen, is that if you're a pretty good player, and let's use an example for Leafs fans, Easton Cohen, who was a first round draft pick from the Leafs last year, who's on like a 26 game point streak for the London Knights right now. That's not bad. But they're drafted, right? And then now they go back to the CHL. And now they're an older player relative to their peers, right? They're in their third year in the CHL. So they're, you know, mid or earls for mm-hmm. the eligibility of that. Whereas if they had NCAA eligibility, they could be drafted after that year. And now they're college age, right?
Yeah.
And the NCAA is older, and therefore it's more similar to professional hockey than the CHL is. So, like, in this situation, what would stop Easton Cohen from playing 2 years in London and then going to the NCAA to, let's say, a school like Boston University and playing alongside Macklin Celebrini?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, to me, that raises the point where I think if you're the London Knights, you would hate that. You just lost, you could lose your best player, right?
Yeah, it definitely doesn't benefit Major. Well, it doesn't and doesn't. It doesn't benefit Major Junior in the long term. Short term is any prospects that are very good in that 16, 17, 18-year-old range that would originally have gone the NCAA route and then would have played in the USHL or anything like that would go to the CHL. So, but who hurts the most is a lot of junior A, like tier two, USHL, BCHL. Those kind of leagues would hurt because now the best players would still go major junior because it would be the best junior A league. And they still can move on after. The NCAA would be the biggest, on top of the players, would be the biggest beneficiary in it because ultimately it's a win-win for them.
Yeah, like, and I think the important distinction, and you can tell me if you think differently, But if you were, an American born player and you're one of the best 25 players in your age group, it's probably still better to go to the NTDP than it is to go to a CHL team. Like if you have an option between playing for the program or playing in the OHL, I think the choice should be clear. You should probably play for the NTDP.
Personally, I would agree with that. But I also think the structure of the NTDP is like really good. And
that's
in terms of what players need, it's like basically ideal.
Well, it's scientifically the best thing you can do, right? Like we know from research that this idea of centralization, so taking everybody from a greater geographic area and bringing them to one spot, NTDP, and giving them access to the best resources, right? USA Hockey's best resources to support these players through their development as they progress to professional hockey. We've seen like a really great rise in the quality of the NTDP over the last 15 years. It to the point now where they are just dominant when you look at their production of professional players and especially in draft success, right? And so yeah. I don't think the CHL rule would change. Like I don't think people would forego going to the NTDP, right? Like they have such a strong...
They would still go to the program.
Yeah, so nothing would change there. So what would happen is you might have better people. Like a good example might be Macron Celebrini, right? Who stayed in the USHL as an independent player. They're Canadian. They moved to the US when they were a preteen, maybe early teen. I'm not sure. And then playing in the USHL because they wanted to go to college. And they actually, again, they accelerated through high school. So did you know, they skipped a grade, essentially, and to go to college early, right? But that's you might even see people do that, right? Where they could play all year in the OHL as a first-round draft pick and then they accelerate and they go to play their NHL draft year in the NCAA. Like, I think it opens a really big can of worms or a really interesting series of snowball effects. Unless there's like really clear rules, like, hey, you have to be over 20 before you can play in the NCAA from the OHL, which I would imagine that's what CHL owners would want. Is like, there's a clause that you can't go before 20 or whatever.
Yeah, which would make sense. And I would agree with that. I think that's okay. There also would have to be some sort of rule. You can't go back and forth. Like, if you left the major junior, you cannot come back to major junior or something like that.
I think it's really messy. And I have not spoken with anyone. I don't know if you've spoken with anyone at the NCAA level who's like explicitly for and against this. I heard some people say that they'd imagine that this favors weaker teams who have a harder time recruiting top-end talent or top-end skilled players who go to the bigger programs, Michigan, BU, BC, et cetera, et cetera.
But
doesn't change. That wouldn't change anything.
Well, no.
Still get better players.
Yeah. The talk around the NCAA right now is especially among like not the Big Ten, everyone but the Big Ten, is the fact that the Big Ten has this with the new rules and the fact that your players are allowed to get
NIL.
So close.
Name an image likeness.
Not name likeness, an image. Name an image likeness. As well as like different bonuses, like cost of living things, and schools are allowed to set those prices. It's creating a larger gap between the haves and the have not programs. And, you know, there's still a lot of those, in my opinion, archaic rules in terms of how many scholarships you can offer to put in the leagues. You know, you still have the Ivy Leagues that can't offer scholarships and all these things. And it makes it really difficult to compete because if you are a very good player and say your dream was to go to, let's say, Harvard, but you didn't grow up with a ton of money, it's like, yeah, maybe we can give you financial support, but you still have to pay. Or University of Michigan comes and just goes, just come play here, man. It won't cost you a thing. Plus, you'll end up getting like $20K a year. And you might even get even more because there's a couple, you know, water bottle sponsors or whatever that want to give you money. And now you're making a ton of money, which you should. Mm-hmm. So that's been the talk, is that basically the NCAA in the system we know it isn't going to exist. And so how is it going to compete, and how are the smaller schools going to be able to compete with the larger schools in recruiting? Because as that one transfer rule exists, the larger schools are actually like perfect. They're in a perfect position because they can just pluck the best players that other schools have already recruited, spent time and money to find these like hidden gems throughout leagues that go and they pop off in like a smaller school, so like a you know, like a Bowling Green or a Bemidji State. And then, you know, Wisconsin says, just come here and play. And the guy's like, yeah, absolutely. I'll come right up. So it that's where the concern among the NCAA is right now, is the Big Ten has just the schools with a lot of money just have a lot more advantage right now, when originally the goal was to keep something simple, although it hurt the player, it hurt the players and the athletes overall. Now the players and athletes are getting more control, but the larger schools are still continuing to benefit at a greater degree than the smaller schools.
Yeah, and like, I think the problem is like, that's just how things operate in our current for-profit sports systems.
Yeah, right? which is life.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, especially North American-wise, right? Like, I think this really is, again, a more prominent North American sport issue. I haven't done a deep dive on the economic resources behind European professional sports, so I can't comment on it. Jamie, I know you had an interesting time economically with your period across the pond. I don't know how much you can disclose about that, but
we won't get into that.
Yeah,
because there's some gray area stuff. Let's just say that what goes on, and the things that everyone already knows, it happens.
Yeah. Anyway,
say that.
Anyways, the point being, right? Like, this is a uniquely American, or feels like a uniquely North American issue. Where, like, look at professional sports. They'll get sports have a luxury tax, right? The NBA has a luxury tax, and some teams are fine spending $200 million over it. They're like, yeah, this is going to cost me so much money. Don't care. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that already exists. So this, I guess, like, this shouldn't be from a perspective of those maybe smaller programs. Like, the reason they vote yes to this or say they want this, it shouldn't be because they think it's going to give them an advantage relative to the bigger programs, because it won't. It won't give them an advantage. Like, if you're, again, if you're using Easton Cohen as an example, like, if you're Easton Cohen, do you want to go play at Nebraska Omaha? Like, is that where you want to go? Or are you going to go, maybe I'll go play the first line at BC?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's, I don't know, that I think is going to make a bigger gap, because, again, maybe this is like, the approach to this is trickle-down economics. Like, that's exactly what teams are hoping will happen. Well, we're just going to, you know, things will trickle down.
Oh, we know that works.
Yeah, we know that trickle down economics is for sure a system that has been really great. Anyways, the problem is in hockey, and this has become more and more prominent, and there's some great public research online about this. There is a gap at the top level where the top level players are multiple magnitudes better than the middle. Like, it's not like, if you have, like, let's say we artificially put people in tier 1, 2, 3 of talent. The gap between tier 1 and tier 2 is not the same distance as tier 2 to tier 3. Like, each gap of tier of player is not the same distance. And because of that, if you're one of the big schools, you're just going to get the top tier talent still. You're going to get even more of it, better of it, right? So maybe, you know, maybe the NTDP player that you recruited is like a bubble tier 1 player. They're going to be really good. But even within that tier 1, the NHL guy who was drafted 3rd overall, now it comes to your school. Now that's even higher than the player you would have had. And that gap is enormous between tier 1 and tier 2. And so I think that's what people, at least from what I've heard, don't quite understand, is that talent is not, or like, talent's wrong. Skill is not normally distributed. There's not like equal distances between every level of skill. It's in sport, it's like heavily skewed to the one side, where the top people are just a lot better than the middle pack.
That's true. No,
there's not as many top people. So if this big schools just snatch even more up, you're not, again, you might get more relatively higher middle ground people, but the gap is still huge to the top people. Like, you're, you know, Bowling Green's not going to get better because of this. Bowling Green needs to get, this is not a fair example. I have no idea how Bowling Green's doing this year.
They are not having a good year.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel sad for them. But like, again, like, their challenge is, how do we recruit players that are going to translate to our program, our league, really effectively, that other schools aren't on quite as high? Like, that's their job.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's what they have to do. They have to, like, have better player forecasting. They have to look at better player development trends. They have to try to build senior programs, not first year, second year guys who are going to leave. Right.
Yeah. And this is like, you know, like I said, I think it's going to pass, because I think, I don't know, I have a feeling that it's going to pass just because everything's been so crazy. Like, all the rules have been changing.
Yep.
You know, you look at the AJ teams leaving Hockey Canada and going to the BC. if you look at other different, you know, the fact that you can now play in a quote unquote outlaw league from something like Hockey Canada and then go play in Hockey Canada League without any issues or no, or like punishment, I guess. I'm like, you know, those are all things that didn't exist 2 years ago. So the landscape is so unique that who knows what is happening. And that's why it's just, my gut is that this is going to happen. And I don't know how it's going to play out. And also a lot of people are going to be upset because they burned their eligibilities in the last 80 years.
I mean, I don't know where I stand. Like, I have a tough time with this. Maybe I'm being resistant to change here. I think when we look at goaltending development, this is a Goalie Science podcast. This is probably better for goalies. But this is probably this change would be the biggest win of any position would be for goalies.
Yes.
Like, so we look at, there's something called like aging curves in sport, right? Where like each player has a relative value at each age group where they're most likely to contribute to the success of their team. There's some great work by Micah McCurdy at Ineffective Math on Twitter, who does, and hockeyviz.com. There's a lot of shout outs there for them. They've done some great public work on aging curves. There's an article called Age and Decay. And the thing is with goalies, because they get into the league so late, there's like a little bit of survivorship bias in the early 20s. So you just don't see basically any contribution from goalies in their early 20s. Well, guess where you could be playing in your early 20s if you're out of the CHL, Jamie? I'm going to play college hockey, which, like, again, I'm not sure how well this has been mapped in the past. It's hard with sample size issues, but like, I could only imagine that being a goalie and going and playing at BC for a year or two is better for your development than going to play in Idaho for a couple years. And also the carousel that would come with constant play and roster shifts, right? Like, how many ECHL teams go through 8 or 9 goalies on a roster in a year? Because the answer is a lot. More than you'd expect, right? Just because there's constant trades and send downs and ups and downs and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Right? So the stability of a college program would be beneficial. So like, from my goalie coach, and I want Hockey Canada goalies to be better, I want Canadian goalies to have a better chance of succeeding, this rule would probably be great for them. It displaces people is what it does, right? It just displaces people out of the college system who don't get an opportunity now to maybe be goalies who would have developed better. I'm always of the belief that we should have more people and the most people in the system as possible. That belief comes from the research that shows that we should keep the most amount of people in the system at the highest level as possible. And right, it's like why you shouldn't condense AAA team centers from 2 centers to 1. Like, you should try everything in your power to keep every center that you have at the highest level, because theoretically that provides the best access to resources, right? Like, if you have 2 sets of really good, willing coaches who are good coaches, by combining them to an age group at 1, you now have created only having 1 access point to 1 set of those coaches at the highest level.
Yeah.
So it's, that's where I come from on this. Like, I think displacing is bad. I think inclusion is good. And I think this whole thing, my vote would be no. But
I vote yes.
My vote doesn't matter.
My vote doesn't matter either.
Yeah, I guess it depends. Again, who knows? Who knows what it would look like? I would suspect, like I said, if this, maybe to wrap this up, I would suspect if this discussion does not have a clause about early movement, which means like you cannot play in the NCAA until you age out of the CHL. If that clause is not in there, the CHL is going to vastly reconsider.
Yeah.
What they're going to have to do, right? And I guess I haven't heard any CHL officials speak about this yet, honestly.
Yeah, I actually haven't heard any CHL. It's all been like NCAA wise on the talk, but I guess because it's just so novel and unique that like crazy things are happening. So
it's unprecedented times, Jamie. That's the word that we've probably heard the most for the past 5 years.
It really is unprecedented times. I think it's a good time to take a break.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's take a little break here. When we come back, we'll speak on the hard realities of what it's like to be a goaltender in the CHL.
Mm-hmm. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jamie, I said the CHL at the break. I was wrong.
We actually just mean the OHL.
Yeah, I don't come with any CHL data. But anyways, those who listen to, who've been listening to the podcast for a while, those who've been familiar with that, last year I did a bunch of work on goalies between 2006 and 2015 who were drafted in the CHL, so WHL, QMJHL, and OHL. We looked at those drafts and what that looked like for how to go from the CHL draft to the NHL draft. And what we basically found was you just got to play a lot of games fast. And which means if you're not playing games by your NHL draft year, it's going to be tough to be drafted.
Which you have to be good right away.
You have to be good right away. You have to be good right away. And not only that, you have to be put in an opportunity to succeed right away.
That's important. Yeah. As you say, that's important, like really important.
Yeah, what we found wasn't important was your save percentage, your goals against average, your wins. None of that mattered.
The only thing that matters is, can they make big saves?
Yeah, can you make flashy?
What does that even mean? Does it matter? Can you make them?
Yeah, we'll save that for our closing, what's on our mind this week, segment at the end. Anyways, Jamie, you asked me to kind of provide some updates on this. We talked a little bit about how, again, this is the time for OHL draft discussion. Teams are entering playoffs, OHL Cups around the corner. All that fun stuff that I despise, but I understand why we do it. And so, like I said, my previous work went from the 2006 to the 2015 draft. So for whatever reason, I said, I don't care about 2016 or 2017. And so I've looked at goalies draft in the OHL between 2018 and 2022. So those are the only windows that are fair. Otherwise, you can't do last year's draft. Like, how many goalies really played?
Yeah, that doesn't
work. So we have players with at least two would be eligible for their second season in this data. Jamie, I'm going to read to you the percentage of goalies who played at least in one OHL game who were OHL drafted in this 5-year set. It's 48%, 33%, 60%, 21%, 40%. So the highest being in the 2020 draft, which was on 2004 birth year. 18 of the 30 goalies who were picked in the OHL draft played at least one game. Now, I'll be honest to say this. I don't particularly care much about playing one game. I don't think it tells us anything.
Do you have the numbers for how many goalies played 15 or more?
Yeah, I got 25. That's the number I
picked. Oh, yeah, 25 is pretty good, yeah. I just want to set the bar low. Maybe the numbers would be cast a wider net.
Yeah, so 25 games, in my eyes, based on kind of the work that we've done, is equivocal to like one season in like a moderate use backup role, like somewhere between like 16 and 20 games. Remember OHL season 68. Now there are some teams who play their goalie like 64, which I think is wild. But it's, you know, it's gotten better. Anyway, so of those same years, 2018 through 2022, I'm going to read you the percentage of goalies who played over 25 games. 39%, 29%, 43%, 18%. And 10%.
The OHL, I just remember like being sold how this was like the most important thing, or at least we thought it was the most important thing.
Well, it's the most important when you're there in the moment.
Yeah. But it's crazy. Like, it's crazy to think about how small that number like actually is. Because I remember being drafted and I thought, well, I've made it.
You did?
Fourth round. It's all the show sailing from here. But then I also remember boys that weren't drafted that thought their careers were over. And a lot of kids actually stopped playing because they didn't get drafted.
Like, legitimately quit hockey.
I think a larger amount of kids quit hockey after they didn't get drafted than games playing, you know, like goalies that ended up playing in the OHL that got drafted.
Probably.
And that's disappointing because like if you're playing at like a high level, the AAA, let's say you're playing AAA, or even if you're playing like a decent, you're still a good goalie at like AA, and you're, you know, 16 years old, 15 years old, it's not done yet. You're not done yet. No.
Yeah. And so, I mean, those numbers shouldn't be surprising, right? So there's a few things that happen. We still have, you know, NCAA goalies who kick back to the OHL. There is European goalies who enter. Now, I think, again, this is where I'm a little, but they've tightened it down on European entries just because.
Didn't they ban it for a brief period?
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure what the status is. I'll be honest. Like, this is me being uninformed on this topic. But there was quite the run around our age group where there was like just an absolute hair of international goalies who were really good in the OHL. Right? But this is like wholly unsurprising, right? The OHL at the end of the day is a business. The goal is for those teams to win. The goal is not for them to develop their young players into stars. It's a bit more of a sink or swim mentality. That's not to say the coaches aren't there actively developing their players. I know a bunch of amazing goalie coaches at the OHL level who are out there every day making an impact with their goals. I know a lot of great assistant head coaches who are there to help their players develop as well. But the model, the system level model, is not designed to develop players. It's designed to win, make money, right? So if you're a team that needs to win, are you going to play your 16, 17-year-old goalie who needs some games to develop? Or are you going to play your 19 or your 20-year-old or go trade for a 20-year-old? Like, the answer is just, it's right there in front of you.
Just send that goalie down to Junior B and grab him when you need him.
Yep.
And you probably, and if you never grab him, it is what it is.
Yeah, and something to be reminded of, like, again, through these drafts, right, again, 2018 to 2022, 33 goalies, 24 goalies, 30 goalies, 28 goalies, 39 goalies. Right, there's a lot of goalies taken, like 39 goalies.
That had to be a record.
I'd imagine so. I didn't, like, that's the most I've seen from the decade that I looked at plus this five. So out of the 15 years across mostly three leagues, I've never seen this many goalies taken. But crazy. Again, lots of reasons why that could be, like, still loosely impacted by the COVID season, right? 2022 would have just been kind of just out of the impacted seasons. But it's, again, like, yeah. But of those, again, of the 39 that were selected in that 2022 draft, so that means 2022 OHL draft, that means that this year, most goalies in that draft are in their NHL-eligible draft year. Remember, I said that one of the biggest, or one of the things that we found was the most impactful for a goalie being selected was them playing games, which essentially means they were the starter, right? So you need to be a starter. You don't need to be, but it really helps. There's only four goalies have played over 25 games in their first, you know, almost two seasons now after being drafted in the OHL. Like, that means, again, I texted you before the show, there's probably two goalies that'll be drafted from the NHL based on, you know, if I plugged their information into our model, which again is not, you know, hand up. Not a great model. No. I mean, like, any models that are superficial goalie statistics aren't gonna be good models. Right? Yeah. We talked about this before. Save percentage is a team stat. And it's influenced by goalies just like the same way it's influenced by a really good defender. It just ends up being recorded on a goalie stat line. But right, like, again, there's literally right, there's Mississauga's goalie and Owen Sound's goalie. I think Owen Sound's Carter George and I'm forgetting the name of the Mississauga goalie. I'm sorry. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's really tough. But the point being, like, if you get drafted in the OHL, you should need to be aware that, like, you're probably not going to play a lot, right? None of those drafts, none of them of the past or of the 5 years that I looked at today had over 43% of the goalies playing at least 25 games.
Which is why you should go against.
What about
not,
Jamie?
Not biased at all.
What happens when the NCAA says that you can play in the CHL too?
That is interesting. Then I guess it literally doesn't matter. Go play wherever you want.
Nothing matters at that point. Well, I mean, like, I think there'd still be an argument that you're going to develop better places. But there's, like, so.
But you could also develop major junior and then have another 4 years of development.
Right.
Who would really lose out would be eSports, would lose a lot of good athletes.
Yeah, eSports is in a strange place. But eSports would also, like, what would be really interesting, Jamie, is eSports would get a lot more guys back who play, like, a year in the ECHL who would have lost. So eSports might just get a huge, like, influx of SPHL, ECHL guys
who use that as a stopping point, which would just change the landscape of U-sport hockey entirely. But complicated. The point being, though, I think is going into the OHL draft, and I mean, now there's a U18 draft as well, so even more goalies are taken every year at the OHL level. Right? I think it's worthy of noting that whether you're selected or whether you're not, like, it's all good. It's okay. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just so, yeah. That part, we say it all the time. It's just like, you never know, like, keep grinding. But it is nice to have, like, actual numbers and data to be like, look, if you don't get drafted, it's not the end of the world. You know, USHL draft's coming up. I'm sure those numbers are something similar. I'm sure there's a lot of goalies that are going far, going to the NCAA that aren't getting drafted in the USHL. Like, it all
picks up. Yeah, the USHL picks up. I mean, they've had, an influx of international goalies, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, a lot. But so is the NAHL. So, you know. But I think, like, there's lots of goalies who go to the NAHL, then go to the USHL, not being drafted at the USHL level, right? Mm. Again, at the end of the day, and I mean this, I'm pretty anti-drafting children. I'm, like, very, very anti-drafting, especially
because you weren't drafted.
Yeah, I'm very spiteful about not being drafted. No, I tell people all the time that I remember I was watching the OHL draft with your dad, Jake. I don't know if you remember this. I was watching with your dad when my OHL draft was taking place.
That all nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, wasn't meant to be. I was working that morning. I was coaching. I was shooting on little girlies as a 16-year-old baby coach and checking rounds in between lessons. But let's just, we look at the WHL where they select after people's grade 9 year.
Crazy.
What were you were playing in Welland in grade 9?
I had just played my first year at AAA.
Right. Like, would have you been selected after that year, Jamie?
Absolutely not.
Right. I mean, you were good enough, clearly, that you were invited to go play for a better team the next year, but...
But I still wasn't, like, that good.
You needed the extra year of development. But that's like...
I needed a lot of extra years.
Still need a few years, actually.
I still need a few years.
But I think it's worth noting. I'm happy you asked it. Like, I'm always pretty, in telling people, like, what actually happens with goalies, right? A lot of them in the OHL league get drafted. It's this awesome thing. You just don't play, right? Like, from our data set, the median games played, so, like, the 50% line. So 50% or less. I think the number ended up being 53%. 53% or less of the goalies selected over a 10-year period in the OHL played an OHL game, one. The 53% didn't play one. 46.68, I think.
Yeah,
that's it's nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Flip the coin. No, obviously that's skewed towards the later rounds, right? So if you're doing a blue draft in the first couple of rounds, that's awesome. You're going to get a chance to play in the OHL. You are.
Yeah.
Probably. Like, the odds are much better for you. But that normally also means that the team you're going to has a place for you right away. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, so it's tough to say, like, you know, you're being selected at that higher place because there is an opportunity for you. And that's great. I think, you know, like, an enormous list of successful and impressive goalies have gone through the CHL system, right? So this is more directed to people who are maybe drafted in the later rounds and, you know, don't get a chance, or people who aren't selected at all, right? Like, it's okay. Like, lots of people who are selected will have the same amount of OHL games as you, right?
Also true.
Yeah. Jamie, Should have you gone to the OHL? Time for your reflection period.
Oh my God, no. I thought I was ready, and I definitely wasn't ready. I would have been one of those guys that played a handful of games and then ended up doing
out of the system. Yeah. Did you
100%.
Did you get offered a spot after your first year?
More than no.
Junior B.
They told me to go play Junior B, and then I just didn't really play. And then I decided that I was going to go to rookie camp again. But then I'm going to go play college. And then I remember calling the coach, and he yelled really loud at me on the phone, told me I was making a bad mistake, the worst mistake of my life, and all these other things. And he was just yelling at, like, a 17-year-old kid. Did turn out not to be the worst mistake of my life. But I just said, yep, I'm done. I'm not going to main camp. I'm not doing any of these things. See you later. And that was really it.
You go to 17-year rookie camp? I don't even remember.
I think I did. Yeah, I did. Definitely went to 17 rookie camp. I had a few when I was in Pembroke, I had a few offers to like get my rights traded.
Mm-hmm.
I think one was Barry, another one was another one where I was going to go play. But at that point, I made up my mind that the OHL was not what I wanted to do, and college is what I wanted to do, and nothing else was going to stop me. So,
yeah, I mean,
it worked out.
Yeah, like the best thing. I think this is maybe the best thing for goalies who are selected, and you don't know. Again, like, let's operate under the assumption that you still lose your NCAA eligibility if you play. Let's say the rule fails, right? If you're drafted in the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth round, like, it's a great leverage point for making a junior.
Huge leverage point.
That's a great leverage point, right? Like, you can, not easily, because easily is the wrong word, but you can turn that into a junior B, a junior A opportunity.
It's a resume booster.
Yeah, it is, for sure, right? And so again, it's cool. Like, I was not drafted in the OHL. I think it would have been pretty cool to be drafted in the OHL. I wasn't. I'm okay with it.
Enough.
I'm okay with it. Yeah, I mean, like, if you are, again, for those who are listening, and it's your CHL draft year, don't tell teams that you want to play college hockey.
No, you tell them what you want.
Win, they want to hear. Up.
Yeah, and tell them what they want to hear, and then do what the best thing for you is, because they're doing the exact same thing to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And on that note, that's all I got, James. I think there's the right pathway for people, there's the wrong pathway for people, and ultimately you don't know which one is the right one until
you get there.
Yeah.
Or if like you're someone that really doesn't like school,
yeah,
then obviously the NCAA is not for you. Like, that's okay.
Yeah, you don't, and again, like, you know, we're big proponents of, and again, it's tough in goalie world, right? It is really hard in goalie world because we know the opportunity pathway limitations, right? Young goalies don't get chances. College lets you play longer, right? Like, these, our approach is rooted in the fact that it's tough out there for goalies. Now, with that being said, there's a lot of incredible U sport goalies these days. Holy cow, are they good. So much better than I was when I had a brief stint in U sport. So, like, again, that's to say that if you, again, that is another university option. So, again, big caveat there that it's school. You got to do school, which is not for everyone, and that's fine. It's tough out here, man.
It is tough out here. Yeah, I don't have any hot takes. I know we're going to talk about it. I'm going to save that for another pod, maybe next week.
I forgot my hot take, too. Maybe it's more of a sad take. I get a little bit sad talking about the CHL, and even to some degree, like, the USA, like drafts for children. I get a little bit sad about it. Again, nothing to do with me, just about the fact that, like, I think we treat young people, like young teenagers, we turn them into little professionals really fast.
It's a little different. I don't mind it, but I do, as long as, like, kids and parents are aware that's not the end all be all.
Yeah.
That's important to me. Like, I do think I have no problem with drafts, all these things, but understanding that, like, hey, the numbers aren't really that great for the drafts. So keep grinding. Keep grinding, keep kicking. You never know.
Yeah. And again, like, maybe this is a side of draft research, right? So I get to work with some people who've done lots of draft research. They're very smart, they're very cool. And a lot of the time we've said that, you know, people not making it in drafts is because of bad drafting, right? Like, you know, that happens. You select players that they don't turn out. That's life.
Mm-hmm.
At, like, the OHL level, like, again, like, we talked about this in 2022, there's 39 goalies drafted. There's just a bottleneck at that point, right? That's so many people, right? So I don't think it's, like, a draft accuracy thing. I don't think it's teams drafting poorly. I mean, there's probably a little bit of that, but you're also guessing on children again. But it's just, like, when you have that many people in the system, like, there's high levels of competition. There's lots of really good goalies. The goaltending floor right now is really high. Really, really high.
Really, right? High.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like I said, in the grand scheme of things, really cool if you get drafted. Really cool if the CHL pathway is the pathway for you. Like, go take that. Go run with it. Make the most of your opportunity. It's okay if that's not your pathway. Right? And I guess we'll see in a few months that maybe you can take a whole bunch of different pathways.
Yep, that is true.
All right, Jim, that's all I got. You got anything
else? I got two.
Nope.
That's all I got.
Call it there. Thanks for listening. If you're interested to hear more about Jamie Phillips' approach to every single thing he does, check out his Patreon. It's got a ton of great resources. I still receive 0% of his money from it. You hate to see it.
But it does pay for the expenses that the pod incurs. So
that expenses, which are low. Anyways, if you don't want to pay Jamie, which you should, don't pay him unless you want to. Check out
unless you want to get better. If you don't want to get better, then yeah, I wouldn't either.
Check out Jamie Miller Going Method. Check him out on Instagram and on YouTube. That's all Jamie Phillips on those platforms. Jamie Phillips 30 on Instagram. Go check out what he's doing over there because it's always great content. If you want to hear more ramblings on nerdy stats things, you can always check out what I'm doing, which is today was building an expected goals model. So
I'm going to just cool now. Yeah. You should document more of that stuff for people.
But the model wasn't good. So
it's okay.
It's a little bit better than flipping a coin, so we could say it's great.
Hey, I'll take that. I'll take those odds at the at the roulette table.
Yeah. All right. Everyone, thanks so much for listening. Catch you next time.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.